Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, congregation. You may be seated, and oh, it's so good to soak in the presence of God. Amen. I just feel that way when I get into this kind of worship with this kind of taking time to just soak in His presence, because there's a lot going on between the Lord and I, so we need some time together. You know what I'm saying? If you have nothing going on with the Lord, this really takes a long time. But man, when you've got some stuff going on with God, then this kind of time just flies by because you're doing business. Amen. And so what a glorious morning we had as we talked about the power of asking. Amen. Can anybody remember from the A to the S to the K? Amen. And of course, A was ask, S was seek, K was knock. Amen. We need to say it right. It's knock. And so we ask big, we seek deep, and we, well, knock with confidence, knowing that because we have asked big and sought deep, doors open up in our relationships and whatever it may be in our lives. God wants your life to end up. Period. Just end up. How many want things to end up? Not end down. For we go from glory to glory. Amen. We go from glory to glory. Amen. I am so looking forward to laying hands on some kids in just a few minutes. Don't worry, they'll recover. Okay? It's in the Bible. That's scriptural. And they will say their name. They'll say their age. And I will declare the Spirit of Jesus at 12 on them. And it'll be powerful. And so this evening, I have a word for you called, and you'll see it on the screen right now, it's called Climb, Climb Up I Must Mountain. And what I want to do tonight is talk about the powerful life of Jesus when he was a preteen and how that affects our families and affects us as adults. How many remember singing in Sunday school, Climb, Climb Up Sunshine Mountain, faces all look. Not very many. Okay, some of you remember. We're revealing your age, your stage. But I remember singing, Climb, Climb Up Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. Climb, climb up, da-da-na-na-na-na-na-na. I don't remember all the words, but it changed my life. And no, okay. And so it was just powerful, climbing, climbing up Sunshine Mountain. Now, we have a scripture here that Pastor quoted this morning. It was powerful. When you quoted this morning, Pastor, it so encouraged me that I had a word for you as a congregation tonight. How many believe that mountains are fairly significant in the Bible? There's something about mountains that is very pivotal in terms of the walk of Israel, even our own lives as well. Where did God give us the Ten Commandments? He gave them to us on a mountain, Mount Sinai. Jesus died, as many say, on Mount Calvary. Scholars sometimes talk about whether or not it was actually a mountain or was a hill or whatever, but we call it Mount Calvary. Mountains in Scripture are powerful places, and there's nothing like a mountain to change your perspective. There's nothing like going up higher that changes how you view. Because a point of view is a view from a point. What a profound thought. Come on, we use the phrase, don't we, all the time. Well, that's your point of view. Well, you just might be vertically challenged. That's the problem. Your point of view is digging holes in the basement. And so points of view come from views from a point. And that's why the Lord would ask us to go higher. I know what it's like to go higher with the Lord. And frankly, it's not easy. It requires training. It requires an attitude. My kids and I were in Banff last week. And do you know when you go into Banff, that one waterfall that comes down from one of the mountains, it's very significant. You see it every time you go. Well, we decided to climb that all the way. And my six-year-old son, he was at the base of those waterfalls. And I was just trying to get air, okay? I was just trying to get air. I mean, I even did a video of it, and it's so obvious. And as my son was already at the top of the mountain. There's something about mountains. Some of you are praying for me right now because you just said, that guy has asthma. You can tell. Did you hear how deep that was? Yeah, let's have a healing meeting. Amen. And so let's take a look at a scripture here. And this is what Pastor was referring to this morning. This is in the Message version. And again, I so enjoyed us speaking the word together. So could we read together? Let's begin. There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. They'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Could we say those last two lines together? He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Now let's just put a little bit of rhythm on it, and I'm just going to make it up right now. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Come on, you got to have fun, remember? You must have fun or this faith will be dry. Somebody enjoy these words with me tonight. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. So we kind of speed up so we can speed that part. Let's do it again. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Get a little rhythm there. And some of you are saying, man, this is childish. I forgive you. It's childlike. And that is the entrance into the kingdom. For if you come as a child, you shall enter into the kingdom. And so I ask you to be childlike tonight. And maybe this is a way that you can rhythmically help your kids memorize scripture and have fun with it. Let's try it again. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Now, you see, the word show is key. Because when God told Abraham to leave his family, God said to him, I want you to go to a land that you don't know of, to a land that I will show you. No, God, I don't want to be shown. I want to be one who is known before I need to be shown. I want to know before I go. God, if you want me to go, give me the know. Forget the show. Because show comes after I've started. I want to know now what is going to happen before I get there. God, if you want me to go, then give me know. Now. And God says, no, I don't do no now. I do show. Go to a land that I will show you. Well, that just doesn't seem fair. And God says, oh, you weak soul. I've called you to a life of faith and not fear. Christianity is gutsy. Because you got to be submitted to showtime. And I would rather know you show me now time. It's nothing no different than Moses. When he's holding out his banner over the Red Sea, God says, get your stick out there and I'll open it. And Moses says, could we switch the order? You just open it, and I'll get my stick out there. God says, no, I'll open it after you look like a fool for a moment. And God is never into humiliation. He will never humiliate you ever, but he loves to make you a superstar in the eyes of those following you in a good way. And Moses, when he held that thing out there and the opened ocean came after he did that, the people said, this Mo is the real dough. Okay, if you want to go. I just thought of that. Mo is the dough. Because he's into show, not pessimistic, I want to know. Amen. So, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to know God, you got to be a mountain climber. You've got to go to the mountain, for he will show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Now, could we think about that for a second, that phrase? He'll show us the way he works so we can kind of live the way we're made. I have a coloring book. Have I told you? Yes, I have. Yes, yes, I know. And you're all frustrated because we sold out, but because I didn't bring a lot. But do you know that in this coloring book, we talk about how God shows us things after we've been obedient? Here's a page right here. But shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is John 3:16, done in Godward Art. Over here, if you can tell, I've created a good, bad, life, death. Most Christians are running and barking up the wrong tree. They're into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It'll puff you up. It'll make you a proud, pessimistic believer, because you'll be Mr. Definer of what's good and what's bad, and you'll repel a generation. God says it's really not about what's good and what's bad. It's about what produces life and what produces death. So if you run into a sinner, just ask him. Just say, how's it going? Like, how's it working out for you? That drug-induced life filled with all kinds of addiction. How's it going? As opposed to, that's bad. That is sinful. Duh, they know. So just ask them the skill testing question. How's it working out for you? Is it producing life or death? Because his word tells me he'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. When you figure out how he works, then you will live the way you've been made. Somebody came up to me this morning, a precious couple, a mother. Her daughter asked her the question, you know, Mom, I really don't have a testimony. I've just known the Lord. And Mom said, well, no, honey, that's a great testimony. And then I added this thought. Sometimes the best testimony is no testimony at all. I don't have a testimony of gone crazy. And I'm having more fun than you are. Because he'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. When you figure out how he works, you find out the way you're made. And you come into alignment with God. And you end up with the testimony of Jesus at 12. And so would you mind us, could we climb the mountain? I'm a phenomenal artist and I want to show you a picture of my mountain. What do you think? If we take a look at the verbal bookends of Jesus' life, these are them. These are the verbal bookends of my Savior. The first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible are, after his mother and dad couldn't figure out where he was, they lost God for 3 days. It was freaky. Mother Mary's like, where have we left Jesus? Oh, we left them in downtown Edmonton. Oh, Lord, help us find them. They found him 3 days later. Do you want to hear the first recorded words of our Savior? To his mother, why do you seek me? She's like, you get in the Winnebago, you little brat. It's been 3 days. And then he got tested and he says, did you not know? And then he spoke 7 words, and these are them. I must be about my Father's business. When Jesus was 12, he disappeared from Mom and Dad for 3 days. There was one other time he disappeared for 3 days. He did it when he was 12, and he did it when he was 33. The verbal bookends of Christ are, I must be about my Father's business. And after hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. Amen. How many wouldn't mind those being the verbal bookends of your kids? The verbal bookends of your life are, I found God early, and I'm following his mission in my life. Please do not. There's no judgment in the room. There's no condemnation in this room. Because God is an absolute phenomenal artist at taking tragedies and turning them into triumphs. Please understand, every testimony is to the glory of God. Every testimony is to the glory of God. But this one costs less. It requires a smaller budget. Because sin is so expensive. You know, people think they're punished for their sins, as if sin needs help from God. We're not punished for our sins. Come on, we're punished by them. It's not like God got personal with you and said, you know what, I'm going to get you because you ticked me off today. And consequent needs a little bit of help from me. Come on. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. And some are going, I don't know, this feels like a moral sermon here. This sounds like a big moral judgment tonight. Please understand, the mercy of God absolutely, absolutely eclipses the bad decisions that are made in all of our lives. If we will ask, seek, and knock, there is a great future for everybody. Let's get back to the mountain. And so I've decided to call this Seven Words Mountain. And so let's take a look at the first side of the mountain. I'm calling it the I must be side of the mountain. If I was to take the seven words of Jesus and dissect them a lot, I would take the word I. And I would talk about it like I'm doing right now. Let me abbreviate it. How many are thankful that the first thing Jesus said wasn't they? They must be about their Father's business. He, she. He didn't even say we. He said I. Because in the end, students, young man, it begins with I. Oh, thank God for mom and dad. But this is between you and God. Amen. You know that already. God's going to give you the finger. How many of you are thankful? God invites us all to come as a family, but then he picks us out. How many know it's a scary thing when God says your name? Have you ever had God say your name? I would much rather he say Christ City, because I could hide in one of the chairs. But when God says, Greg, it gets real personal. I must be. Give me your first name again, young man. Justin. How old are you? 12. Justin, I want you to know those three words right there are an uphill battle. You will never, never be able to own those words without a hiking heart and a spirit that says, you know, I'm not going to blame this on my parents. Excuse me. I'm not going to blame this on my job, my workers. I'm not going to blame this on my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I'm going to take personal responsibility. I'm not a victim. This is an I must be. And because I have the mic, I can say this about the word be. It's a transition word in the statement, but I think it's about your character. Because character is what will take you and carry you through the current of life that will come your way. Amen? We don't worship character, we worship Jesus. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to climb this mountain, you must be. And then I can't help but tell you that the top of the mountain is the word about. Because in the end, it's really what you're all about. It doesn't matter what you drove, what you wore, what you look like, church you attended. In the end, your funeral will be about what you are about. Amen. And in redneck theology, we have it down in Oklahoma. When people have the essence of a moment in their lives, they say, "That's what I'm talking about." Because they're in that moment, the essence of the moment. This afternoon, I was watching a little bit of golf because it was on. I'm not much of a golfer. But I guess one of the golfers, what's his name? Come on, somebody help me here. On the last runoff hole, he out of the sand dune, he did a hole in one, so to speak. He hit it out of the sand dune and went right in. That's right. Some of you, I'm not going to admit it. I was not watching that. Well, my two nephews were there, and we both just exploded with, "Yeah, great one." It was one of those, "That's what I'm talking about," kind of moments in the golf world. Y'all need an about. What's your life really all about? You see, it doesn't matter what I preach up here. It all comes down to young people. It doesn't matter what I say from the pulpit. It comes down to young men like this young man right here. Because that's what I'm all about. When you have me, you get that. And you get fun too. Because I believe it's a sin not to have fun. I used to have a t-shirt that just said fun on it. Sold thousands of them. And on the back it says, "I may be having more fun than you are." John 10:10. I'm thinking about coming out with a whole t-shirt line that's just kind of edge funny. Like a picture of a table with a beer on it and a guy sitting there and maybe two beers and it says, "Face your beers." You know, just to start a conversation with people. You know, or "There is no dog," said the dyslexic atheist. You know, I'm just trying to come up with stuff to have some fun. And some of you are one irreverent piece of work. Well, I'm innocent. And my spirit is clear. I've never done drugs. I do the Bible. One of my pastor friends says that. I don't do crack. I do Romans 8. It'll get you high because there ain't no high like the Most High. Amen. Would you finish the statement with me? He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Got that rhythm going? He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. That's the Bible. It's the Message translation, but it's still the Bible. Well, what's the other side of the mountain? Let's go to the other side. It's the result. Everyone say the result. The result. Say it again. The result. My Father's business. Hey, if you'll look after that side of the mountain, God will take care of the green side. You get your "I must" on, and he'll just challenge, he will just take you into the Father's business. There's another scripture here, and I'll move quickly now. I'm getting ready to pray for kids in a couple minutes. But let's take a look at another scripture. Let's go back to "I must be." When I was here a couple years ago, I remember sharing with you the story of how I was wearing my "I must" wristband. I've gotten rid of a couple today. I just give them to people I meet. I'll meet people in a Starbucks, and they say, "I must what?" And I just go off on them in a good way. I smile. Please remind your face of the message. Come on, somebody. Smile. Enjoy it. So one day I'm on an airplane. Some of you have already heard me talk about this. And the flight attendant looks at my wristband. She says, "I must what?" I says, "Well, let me tell you, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus said it when he was 12. She says, "Do you want a Coke?" She was taken back a little bit. 2 weeks later, I got another flight. Same flight attendant. She saw me coming. She said, "You're the I must man." I says, "Absolutely." Sat in my seat, continued with what I was doing. She came back to my seat and shoved her wrist in my face. And somehow within that 2 weeks, she caught the message that humans are made for the I must be. She wrote in her wrist with ballpoint pen, "I must." Became an evangelist, shared it with another flight attendant that I had never met. And I took a picture of them, and you were supposed to wait till I said, "Do you want to see them?" So you're fired. You have been fired. The spirit of Trump is on. I'm just kidding. Okay. And there they are. Look at the ladies. Look at the ladies. I couldn't believe it. When adults use ink on their skin that's not tattooing, it's like this, you know that something's going on. I love I Must Mountain. I must be about my Father's business. Check out this scripture. It's so beautiful. And let's take a look at it. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off." How many know you would never know where that mountain is unless you started moving in that direction? You can't see the things afar off if you're not willing to go with, "I don't need to know, I'm gonna go with your, you'll show." And there they come to the mountain. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you," which is a prophetic statement of what Abraham believed would happen, although he didn't know for sure. He says, "We will come back to you, but according to God, the explicit instructions were, take your son and kill him." So they're on their way up the mountain, and the son says, "Dad, we got the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And Dad is real quick on his feet. "God will provide a sacrifice, son. We'll have it." Because he knew the son was quicker than him. Because if he would have said to his son, "Son, you're the sacrifice. Have a happy day. Because it's your last. God told me to kill you. How you doing?" No, seriously, this is crazy stuff. How many know you don't climb that mountain without an I must be spirit? So they're on the way up the mountain. Let's take a look at it. I think it's even in one of our images here. Yes, there they are. You can see Abraham and Isaac. They're making their way up the mountain. Yes, they are. And as they get closer to the top, Abraham says to his son, God will provide for him sacrifice. When they get to the top, he finally tells his son, "Son, really, God told me that I'm supposed to lay you on the altar. How you doing?" And the son laid on the altar. Now, how many know that is an absolute miracle that a young person would lay themselves, and I'm being facetious and I'm being kind of tongue-in-cheek here, but I want every young person in this room to hear me right now. You will never be great until you've laid your life down. If you're 14, 15, 16, 12, I don't care what age you are, I want you to know that when you honor those who made you, you will attract the attention of God. And so Abraham laid himself on the altar. Abraham tied him down because young people have a tendency to change their minds. He's in there. He's about ready to put the knife into his son, and you know the story. God's in heaven saying, "Thicket, find a thicket, Ramoth. Find your thicket noweth. We've got something going on. Find your thicket, Ramoth." And the ram's like, "Okay." And so the ram's on assignment. We've got an assignment ram here. And just as about he's ready to put the knife into his boy, God says, "Abraham, Abraham." And all of a sudden, they hear a ram caught in a thicket. Isaac says, hearkeneth. I hear a Rameth. He's in the thicketh. They ran over to the ram, and the ram is singing. I surrender all. I mean, it's an obedient ram. This is a triple play, folks. Ram's going to ram heaven. No such place, but let's just have fun. Remember fun. Don't kiss your imagination goodbye when you read the word. They bring the ram back, and they sacrifice the ram. Now, let me tell you something. Right about then, I'm thinking Isaac says, that's what I'm talking about right there. Because I just found out what my dad's all about. I just found out that there's more on this screen than a bald head, and it's coming. There it is. I'm sorry. About at the bottom. You know what God started doing at the top of that mountain? He began to swear absolute, profuse, unexplainable blessing on an old gentleman and his boy. And God says, because you've done this thing, I now know what you're all about. Those weren't the words. God used these exact words. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the sand is on the seashore and the stars in the heavens. And God just went off. How many know from that point on it was much easier for Abraham to continue to live and fulfill the Father's business plan for his life? Because if God can find out what you're really all about, he can take you places you've never been. But he's got to find out what you're all about first. How many know there's a little bit of fear in all of us, and we're trying to get rid of it? How many know there isn't one of us in this room that's fully arrived yet in any way? Y'all know that David should never have gotten the name tag, man after God's own heart, unless you realize that the key word on his name tag was after. He was after it. Did he always practice the heart of God, King David? Come on. Never did he always practice it, but he was after it. How many are after it right now? Maybe right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and going, you need to get after that. Because I want to find out what you're all about. Because I discovered after you scale the heights of coming into my presence. And I'll give you an unforgettable when you're up there if you'll do it. When I began to be the national youth director for Four Square Churches in 1986, not 1886, 1986, I'll never forget. I went from being a local youth pastor to having a national platform and responsibility. It changed my life in a phone call. I went to West Edmonton Mall. It was new then, almost. Built in 83. I went to the mall in 1986, and I spent $400 in 86 on a brand new leather coat that looked good on me. Distressed, little puffing in the shoulders made me bigger than I was. V body, V. I love that jacket. Let me tell you, if you love something, keep it a secret. Because if God finds out you love it, it just came up on his radar. And I got on an airplane with my brand new leather coat on that looked good on me. The male head steward on the airplane looked at me and says, that's a beautiful coat. I says, thank you very much. Halfway through the flight, he came back and continued to talk to me. He was a male flight attendant. He was struggling with his sexuality, and he admitted it. And God asked me the skill testing question halfway through that flight. He says, "What's the best thing you've got?" I tried to think of something I had at home. Because when you're 5 miles in the air, you can't do anything about it. I says, "Lord, the best thing I have on this airplane is my brand new leather coat that looks good on me. It's my size." God says, "Give it to the man. God, it's new." And the Lord says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was your Goodwill stuff." God has never asked me for my Goodwill stuff. Only Goodwill does. God has never asked me. As a matter of fact, God has never asked me for anything that didn't mean anything. He only asks me for things that mean something, so that way he can figure out what I'm truly all about. We don't have time for the whole story. Let me tell you what. I says, "God, I got to keep my coat. This is, come on, God." I says, "Lord, if I keep the coat, will I go to heaven?" He says, "Yeah, but you'll feel like the other place." I says, "Well, I don't want to feel like going to heaven. Because if I feel like going to heaven, then I'll be like one of those Christians people meet that they don't want to meet Jesus because they met them first." So I says, "Lord, I'm going to keep my coat, though, because I'll still go to heaven." As that plane landed in Denver, I heard a voice, "Greg!" I says, "God, don't hit me." It wasn't God, it was the flight attendant. His name was John. "When's your next flight?" 2 hours. God says, "Ask him out for coffee." "Do you want to go for coffee?" He said, "Yes." And I went into a coffee shop with him in his United Airlines coffee shop and spoke to him in a language he couldn't understand, because this time the language was my jacket. And I knew it. We started to head towards our flight, my flight. I said to my coat, "Coat, get off my body. You are my coat, my only coat that I love." Well, that's what we just read. "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." God was saying, "Take off your coat, your only coat that you love." That coat came off my body, and I handed it to John. And when I gave him the coat, God opened my voice. I says, "When we were at our worst, God was at his best. God has his best for you, sir." And I began to cry for two reasons. Number one, he took the coat. This was supposed to be a willing test, not absolute execution. Come on, you let Abraham and Isaac out of it. You could at least let me out of it. No, he didn't. That coat went to John, and I've never seen it since. But who cares? I eventually got another leather coat. I keep it at home now. As a matter of fact, back off, Jack. I have nothing valuable with me. Just kidding. Just kidding. If you've never scaled the mountain, you don't know what life's all about. But if you scale it, he will change you. And it'll be all downhill from here as the Father's business becomes part of your nature. This wasn't a J-12 encounter tonight. We often do them all over the world. But it's the same content for young lives. And in this room right now, we have 12 and under students that are in this place. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to get to pray over you. And we're going to be done. And there's going to be an impartation in just a moment. When we do the J12 encounter, I invite kids 8 and under to come forward. And I'm going to do that in just a minute because they're coming from the other room, those that are younger. Usually they have a name badge on that says their name and their age. This time I'm going to have a handheld mic and you're going to hear their name and they're going to say their age and they'll never forget it. And I'm going to declare the Spirit of God at 12 on them. So in just a moment, I could have some help on the keyboards or Pastor Mark, whatever. And we are going to turn this into a moment right now. As a matter of fact, if you are 12 and younger, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you're 12 or younger, and some of you are saying, I'm not standing unless my daddy stands with me. Stand with them. Feel free to bring them. Come. If you're 12 or younger, come. And I'm going to need a mic in a minute. And I have prayed over thousands of young people all over the nations. And you're going to stand. Dads, I need your help. Dads, sir. Make a straight line. Make a straight line. Facing me. Facing me. Straight line. Straight line. Straight line. Straight line. Straight line. Straight line. Facing me. Facing me. Well, something tells me that your parents, are you ready for this? Are behind you. They're literally behind you. But they're not just behind you. They're behind you. Judah. Gabrielle. My own two kids are here. And this will be the first time in a J12 moment that I've been able to lay hands on them in this context. This room is filled with the glory of the Lord. And in just a moment, thanks dads, thanks leaders, men, Ron, my precious wife, babe, I'm gonna pray. And I'm gonna say your name, and I want you to say your age, and I'll help you with it. Yeah, honey, you're beautiful. You're absolutely I want you to know that the generation of the Lord is hidden in this house right now. You see, when Athaliah was killing the children, when Athaliah in the Bible was killing the kids because she wanted to secure the kingdom for her own, the Bible says that one of the kids got away from her and they hid him. Look at me now. On a T-ball field. Not. They hid that child in the house of the Lord. So I got good news. You couldn't be in a safer place than where you are right now. This is a house of protection. It's a house of prophecy. And it's a house of perseverance. Now I want you to know you're here because your mom and dad brought you, because I know you don't have a driver's license. The only reason we have so many young lives in here is because somebody believed that a man of God had something to offer on a Sunday night. That's why you're here. And so I salute the parents and the leaders who have said, we give you permission to lay what's on you on our kids. And so I'm going to move among you, and we're going to go that way. This won't even take long, but you're going to say your name and say your age, and I'll help you with the mic. You'll actually get to have, well, we'll all hear you. Are you ready? Young man, what's your name and what's your age?
Josh.
How old are you? 7. And this is?
Lily.
How old? Josh at 7 and Lily at 10, I declare that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon you. That you'll never return to the Lord because you're never leaving. I speak it in the name of Jesus. What's your name?
Claire.
How old are you?
9.
9? And you are?
Peyton.
And you are?
7.
Claire at 9, Peyton at 7, and what's his name?
Camden.
At?
Camden at 8.
Camden at 8. I declare that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon every one of these who have just said their name. And what, yeah, what's your name, bud?
Trey.
Trey, and how old are you? Trey at 7, and what's your name?
Rael.
Rael at? 6. I declare the Spirit of God at 12. Rest upon you in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to move quickly, okay? You just say your name without me even putting the mic in your face, because some of you, that's a little scary. Go, what's your name?
Jayla.
And say your age right after it. Jayla at 9.
Hudson at
7. At 11.
Francis 11.
Father, I declare that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon these now. That what's on me rests on you. That your bedroom will become a Bible college. Your walk with God a delight. Young man, what's your name?
Darren, I'm 8.
Darren, and you're 8.
Otto.
Otto, and you are?
Otto
at 4, Darren at 8. What's your name?
Audrey.
At?
8.
Audrey at 8, and?
Cole at 9.
Cole at 9. Young man, I declare that what's on me rests on you in the name of Jesus, and that you'll be about your Father's business. Because there's no other way to live. It's really the only way to live. I know you know that. What's your name? How old are you?
12.
Rachel, I'm 11.
Shannon or Channon?
Channing.
Channing. And Rachel, I declare the Spirit of God at rests upon you young ladies. You're tall in the Spirit.
What?
In Jesus' name. What's your name?
Jordan at 5.
Jordan at 5. I declare the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon you. And this is?
Done.
She's saying, I finally got the mic. I declare the Spirit of God at 12. And on Macy at 5, may the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rest upon you. Charisse? How old are you?
At 5.
Charisse at 5. And Piper at? How old are you?
6.
6. How old are you?
3.
Grayson at 3. I declare the Spirit of God at 12. Hello, honey. What's your name?
Anna.
Anna at, let me get in here. Anna at
11.
11. Amen. And
Dominique
at
11.
Olivia at 10. I declare the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon you to be fully healed in your body. Too, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these men, these dads, these women, these mums. Okay, now we're going to go really quick, and we can change this up as we go, just so that we can totally get everything we're from it. Say your name and age. Michael at
4.
That's right. And Kalia? Kalia. I declare in the name of Jesus that everyone who just spoke into this mic at the age they are at, that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon them. Fola? You're precious. How old are you?
Fola.
Yes. And he is 4. Oh, Grace, how old are you?
5.
Yes, and Sierra at?
6.
6. Grace at 5, Sierra at 6. I declare the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon you, young ladies. In Jesus' name. What's your name? Okay, and how old are you? Okay, what's your name? Your name is Ariana?
And I'm 4.
And you are 4. Isa?
Isla.
I'm 4. And you're 4. And your name is? Lonnie. And you are? 4. And you are?
Alexis, I'm 5.
Oh, this is awesome. Grace, and you are?
5.
Yes, and Sierra, how old?
6.
Mila, and
7. 7, and?
Timmy, 4.
Yeah, and?
Scott, 8.
Father, I declare over these that have just announced their name and their age that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon you, that you must be about your Father's business in every way. In the name of, what's your name?
Toby 9.
Hillary
7.
Yes.
Joseph is 2.
Joseph is 2. Oh, God bless him. I declare, and this young one is John? Lennox. Lennox at?
2.
I declare the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon you, Lennox at 2. Honey, what's your name?
Emma.
How old?
6.
Okay.
Leah at 9.
Yeah. What's your name? And you're 11. Okay, what's your name?
Nadia.
How old are you?
4.
4.
Brooke.
Father, I declare on every one of these who have just said their name, declare their age, that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon you now in Jesus' name. Bro.
Justin at 12.
Come on, Justin at 12. I declare that the I Must Spirit rests all over you. I know you've gotten a lot of attention today because of me being and you being on the front row. But you know what? You're a front row Christian. Kashatanamako. I speak it in Jesus' name. What's on me rests on you. Jonathan, 12. Another awesome 12-year-old young man.
Philip, 12.
Philip, who's 12, who looks 15. Bud, good to meet you. And I speak blessing on you. Hallelujah. I've known your dad forever.
Gabby at 7.
Yes, Gabriella. Gabby at 7. And?
Emma at 9.
Emma at 9. I declare that the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon these precious young lives at 7 and 9 in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 11?
Nine?
Matthew, and I'm 12.
I declare the Spirit of God on 12, 9, 11. May the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rest upon you. Young man.
Andrew and 8.
Okay, say it again. Andrew at 8 and
Joseph at 10.
Joseph at 10, Andrew at 8. I declare the Spirit of God at 12. And now my own precious son named Judah. Judah, how old are you?
6.
Gabrielle, how old are you?
8.
Father, I declare in the name of Jesus. Lord, I got to do it at Christ City. I declare in the name of Jesus that what's on me rests on them. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I speak it in the name of Jesus. Father, help every parent, like my wife and I, Jessica, to raise up a generation that will never need to be rescued because they've been reached and caught by the Spirit of God at a young age in the name of Jesus. We speak it now. Your name?
Jace
at 7. I declare the Spirit of God at 12 rests upon you. And you are?
Rachel 7.
Rachel at 7. And?
Caleb at 12.
Caleb, may you be as tall in the Spirit as you are standing here right now. I speak it in Jesus' name. What's your name?
Emmanuel 10.
Emmanuel, God with us. I declare in the name of Jesus, you are a sign and a wonder, bro, for the glory of God. What's your name?
Luke.
How old are you?
Four.
Luke at four. I declare the spirit of God at 12. Bless the warrior. Aim the arrow. May what's on me rest on you. What's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie, how old are you?
Eight.
I declare the spirit of God at 12. Rest upon Charlie at 8. In the name of Jesus. And this is?
What's your name?
Locke. And you are?
Three.
I declare the spirit of Jesus at 12. Rest upon Locke at 3. And what's your name?
Hedrick.
Hedrick at? 3. I declare the spirit of God at 12 on this young man now. In Jesus' name. What's his name?
Oliver
at 1. Oh, God bless you, Oliver at 1. And this is?
Esther
at 2. I declare the spirit of God at 12 rests upon Esther at 2. And this is?
My daughter
Lazarus?
At 1.
I declare the spirit of God at 12 rests upon you. Oh, poor, precious little thing. And this is?
Penelope.
Yes, months. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody, look this way. Listen to me now. What we're going to do is we're going to do something really cool. We're going to all turn around and face the congregation. Face the congregation, and I want you all, yeah, moms and dads, kind of come towards the back if you can. And now I want everybody in the congregation to get ready, because we're going to do something that you're going to follow. I want us to raise our hands towards the people. Raise them towards everybody. Everybody, raise your hands. Adults, congregation, raise your hands back. Everybody, raise. Come on. There's no generation gap in this house. Hallelujah. Oh, this is powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, look at this. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that I'm looking at the next generation. Lord, they're the next generation chronologically, just by virtue of age. And I declare that they're ahead of the game. We declare now that they're about their father's business. I declare that they will know what they're really all about at a young age. Lord God, that they will discover this young so they don't have to try to understand it later in life. I speak it now, and what's on me rests on them. And I declare, as we reach our hands backwards, as mothers and fathers and grandparents and just families and members of different families, we now declare there is no disconnect between the hearts of our children and the homes we live in the name of Jesus. Would you give the Lord a hand right now in the name of Jesus? Yes. Now, I want all you men, you young men, to look at me, and I want you to know God has called you to be men. And that doesn't mean mad. That doesn't mean mean. Because real men are more than simply male. Being a male comes with your physical structure. Being a man comes with a powerful, tender heart. And so I declare in the name of Jesus that you will get lost like Jesus at 12. Lost in love with the Father. Jesus spent 3 days and his parents didn't know where he was. When they found him, he wasn't found in the right place. He was lost in love there. We don't want you to be found in the right place because we drug you to church. We want you to be lost in the right place because you're so in tune with a relationship with the Father. You see, we don't need kids that are found in the right place because they're rule keepers. We need kids that are absolutely lost in love there because they've connected with the Father. We speak it now in the name of Jesus. And now I will say this over all of you, young ladies, young men, You have within your little heart an I must spirit. It's the things that you must do, not should do. Should will never get done, but must will compel you on to climb that mountain so you can be about it. And then we'll all be able to say, that's what I'm talking about. Because we've been to the mountain. Hallelujah. I know every parent in this room says, boy, I love this, but we have to go home to the reality that we face in our own kitchen. I just speak on moms and dads and parents, that God will give you the wisdom. That God will give you the wisdom and the judgment to know how to train your children. Because, of course, it's a word play, but we don't raise kids. We raise chickens. We train humans. And I don't mean train them in a negative way. I mean they've been set up. There's resident within them, and I must purpose. So I want all you kids to know something. We're going mountain climbing. And the first three words are I must be. Amen, Judah. And you know the I must be actions, don't you? Gabrielle knows them. This is what we do when we do a J12 encounter. We do this. Look at me. We do this. I must be about my Father's business. We're not going to do that tonight because we would need to work on it a little bit. But I now declare, moms and dads, let's live the I must ourselves. May our kids see us worshiping. May our kids see us with our Bibles open. May our kids know that they can count on us connecting with God every day. May we model what we want to see in the home. And that's just a basic life law. We know that. Amen. You guys are amazing. And you're amazing because you're made in the image of God. And can I say this in last word over you? Love your mom and dad. Love your grandparents. If you don't have a dad, you have a dad. His name is Heavenly Father. You may come from a home that's been split up. You may come from all kinds of situations, but greater is He that is in you than that which is in the world. Turn your bedroom into a Bible college. Have fun with the Bible. Some are saying, I haven't even gone to elementary yet. Don't talk to me about college. I understand. But I declare that what's on me rests on you. When I was 8, my grandfather changed my life when he gave me a chart with scriptures on it. And he started something in me. And I began to memorize scripture at 8 years old. And I'm living in that today. He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Come on, somebody say, He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Again, He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Again, He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Again, He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. Again, He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. 2 more times. He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. He'll show us the way He works so we can live the way we're made. God help us to be childlike in spirit. And so I declare that our bedrooms are Bible colleges, our tables are places for connection. I declare that there's table tools on your table, Bibles and coloring books about the Bible, and please, somebody, have some fun with the things of God. Well, this has been more than I expected today. Not because of you, but because of me. But I'm so encouraged that God is doing great things. What's that? Yes, absolutely. And see, I just love the young ones, man. There's just something about young lives. They got more future than past. Amen. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. As I get ready to turn it over, let me just mention, if you want to get a coloring book, I know that we sold out. We didn't have a lot of them left, but if you want to get one, you can go to j12.com and order it, or we've made a decision to, if you want to get one, you can pay for it now. We're going to send them to the church this week, and you can pick them up over the next 2 weekends, and then you don't have to deal with the issues of duty and all that, and it's a nightmare to tell you the truth. So we will do that if you want to do that. And then if anybody wants to join us as partners in ministry, we have something called Club 12, where people who give us $12 a month on a cancel or credit card in your case. Come and join Club 12 for as long as you want, as short as you want, if you desire that. You're sowing into a ministry that'll affect your own kids. And we'll give you one of our books, come just as a thank you, if anybody wants to join, okay? J12 is funded through the gifts of God's people, through the sale of our discipleship materials, and through Club 12. So just for all the businessmen in the room, we're being stewards with our resources, because you'll never get the job done by me just going around talking. We need people who join us for a season. Feel free to join us. Many Canadians have over the years. Okay, I think that I'm going to turn it over to somebody now. Okay? Oh, wow. I thank God for those images of these kids. I hope we got some pictures here of what took place. Do we have any? I know there's iPhones everywhere, but I just want to make sure that we get to show the devil this so that he can get nervous. Amen?